A new film opens in theaters today that takes on the hot-button topic of the 2012 attacks on a U.S. diplomatic mission and a nearby CIA station in Benghazi, Libya. Over the course of 13 hours between September 11th and 12th, Chris Stevens, the U.S. ambassador to Libya, and three others were killed. Since that time, much of the focus of the conversation has been on the State Department's failings. But what actually happened? Well, the film 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi, focuses on the security team charged with protecting the CIA station. They became the first line of defense during the attacks. Their story went largely untold until Boston University professor Mitch Zuckoff wrote about it in his book, 13 Hours, the inside account of what really happened in Benghazi, which is the basis for the new film, which is out today. Mitch Zuckoff, welcome.
Thanks very much, Jeremy.
Well, and before we get into some of the bigger questions that this film brings up, I do want to remind people of exactly what happened in this attack. And you've gone through that in detail in your book. But basically, we're in Benghazi. This is a city to the east of Tripoli on the Mediterranean Sea. And there is a diplomatic outpost for the United States there. And there is a CIA station, a secret CIA station there. And they both come under attack on this day back in 2012.
That's exactly right. And it's important to start there because this is a story that we really want to focus on what happened on the ground that day. So much has been focused on Washington and elsewhere. You have these two compounds separated by about a mile. And the ambassador, the U.S. ambassador, who's normally based in Tripoli, has just arrived there in Benghazi. And he's based at this little diplomatic outpost, very lightly guarded. And 9:42 that night, suddenly Islamist radicals burst through the gates, and they set fire, and immediately the compound is overrun. The five diplomatic security agents who are there are forced to take cover, and they begin setting fire, and the call goes out, please come help us. And the call goes over to that CIA annex where there are six men who are called GRS. This is the Global Response Staff. They're the security team for the CIA. And they immediately jock up and get ready to go.
And the ambassador at the diplomatic compound is actually killed by smoke inhalation. That's what kills him because the Islamists, as you say, light the place on fire.
Exactly.
Later that evening, the CIA station is also attacked.
Exactly. So the guys from the CIA station do respond, but because they are held back, because there is a delay, they are not able to get to the diplomatic compound in time to save the ambassador or Sean Smith, who is an IT guy who was there with the ambassador. And then when they return to the CIA annex to protect that place, it is again attacked repeatedly over the rest of the night.
Now, as you said, this has gotten to be a very political story. I want to play a clip here from Fox News, from Bill O'Reilly, because this is what you hear in a lot of the media right now when you hear about the attacks on Benghazi. Here he is.
No one in Hillary Clinton's State Department was held responsible for the debacle in Benghazi. No one. And that's likely to be the end of the story, except for one thing. Hillary Clinton's running for president. So now we, the people, have to decide whether she is a leader we can trust.
Now, Hillary Clinton is not in this film at all.
That's
why not?
Correct. Because it is not a political movie. It is not about what happened in Washington that night. It's understandable. We know what's happening in the world right now politically. But it's not about her. And it's not about what the decisions were that night.
Are you saying the attack on Benghazi has nothing to do with Hillary Clinton?
Not that it has nothing to do with her. I understand the implication. And she has taken responsibility for the failure. And the clear failures of the State Department happened before this attack. This was so lightly guarded, this diplomatic compound. It didn't satisfy the requirements of an embassy or a consulate because it was neither. And so when the Accountability Review Board reviewed this, they said these were, horrible failures by the State Department. And so that does fall to Hillary Clinton as the head of the State Department at the time. And she has both publicly and in her book taken responsibility for those failings.
There are also clearly failings by any other branch of government capable of helping these people during the attack. As you, the title is 13 Hours. 13 hours going by when the Defense Department could have flown a plane over to help them, or anybody could have come in and help these people.
Well, theoretically, Jeremy, that's true. But both the Secretary of Defense, Leon Panetta, and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Martin Dempsey, testified under oath that there were no assets, useful assets, within range that night. But there was one group of military supporters that were sent from Tripoli. So they thought there were these guys coming over from Tripoli, this six-member team that included Glenn Doherty, who tragically died that night. And unfortunately, there was not the kind of military asset, a gunship or anything else, an armed drone that was in range.
You know, the CIA does not come off looking very good in this film, including the CIA station chief there. What kind of responsibility did he have? And by the way, he was given a medal afterwards.
He was indeed. And look, the CIA base chief was an intelligence officer. He's not a military officer. And he did not see a need for these guys, according to them. You know, I've talked to all the guys who were there on the ground, for them to be there. And he didn't see their value until, of course, that night. And so they felt he was very dismissive of them. He treated them like Walmart security guards, as they put it. And so when everything hits the fan and they want to go and they're ready to go and try to save the people who are under fire, he tells them to wait. He tells them to stand down, in their words. And that becomes a key. That it's the reason why he doesn't come off well. Because let's face it, here's a guy who spent his entire career as an intelligence officer, as an undercover operator. He's not a military strategist. And so when it was a military mission, he was outmatched.
Have you spoken to him?
Only through the CIA, but never directly.
Why do you think that this has become so political? This was a tragedy for obviously the four people who were killed and their families, but also for the United States. The idea that the most powerful nation on earth can't defend itself from some terrorist thugs in a third world country.
If I use the cliche, a perfect storm, I hope I won't get yelled at by my journalism colleagues. But that's really what it was. It was shortly before the 2012 election. At a time when, as we know, America is already enormously polarized and politicized. And then there was, of course, the misunderstandings about what was the source of it and who said what and was it called it. And so it all fed into what we all know to be an enormously politicized moment in American history.
As you know, as happens with movies that are based on real events, this is going to be history for many people. Many people who see this film, this is going to be what they remember and what they know about what happened in Benghazi. Do you have to be careful then about taking the word of some of the people who were involved and not others in telling the story?
I think you always do as a journalist. You're always worried, did I get the full story? And, you know, I would like to hear more from, frankly, the people who are the attackers, from the members of Ansar al-Sharia, who have been not overlooked, but, you know, are obviously hard to get to. So we do have to be careful, and I do understand that for a lot of people this will be history. But I will also say I believe that the essential truths of what happened that night in terms of the attack, in terms of the response, in terms of how it played out are captured in this movie.
You know, one of the things that I noticed in this film, and also, by the way, in Argo, which is about the attack on the embassy in Tehran, is that when an embassy comes under attack, or a diplomatic outpost in this case, they have to destroy all the documents.
That's right.
In this modern day and age, isn't it a little silly that we have all these paper documents that are so sensitive sitting in dangerous places and outposts around the world?
It is. Some of it is digital, but yes, you're suddenly doing shredding and you're setting fire to things, which is kind of amazing in 2012 or 2015. But there is an interesting parallel between the Argo story and 13 Hours in that around the world, when we have 285 or so diplomatic outposts, and there's the expectation that the local government will come to our aid if we ever come under attack on the sovereign property of the United States in an embassy or what have you. And more, I think, in places like Benghazi or places like Iran, we have to be asking the question, can we trust the local government to protect our people?
And in a place like Libya, you also have the issue of who's your friend and who's not your friend. And they're all asking everybody throughout this movie, are you 17 Feb? Are you 17 Feb, which is the name of the revolutionary group that was on the side of the United
Supposedly
States?
Supposedly on the side.
Supposedly, right.
And just to follow up on that, right now, today, 17 February Martyrs Brigade is actually allied with the group that attacked the embassy, the mission in Benghazi. They are now an ally of Ansar al-Sharia. And so that kind of shifting loyalty is something we're going to have to deal with.
If, God forbid, another attack like this were to happen, would the same thing happen today? Do you think that the United States has made the changes that need to be made in order to prevent something like this from happening again?
Well, the State Department has promised they would never have another temporary mission facility like the one in Benghazi that is so lightly protected. But at the same time, you know, history tends to repeat itself here. And so it might not repeat itself exactly the same way as Benghazi. But are there other threats that we perhaps are not prepared for? I think there may be.
Why did you decide to write this book?
And as a journalist, I felt I couldn't not write it. These guys sought me out. They had stuck together after Benghazi, and they were looking. They had heard all the politics and the political implications, and they said, you know, no one knows what really happened on the ground, and that's been overlooked. And so when they reached out to me, at first I hesitated in saying, do I really want to get, you know, into the Benghazi business? But you meet them, you talk to them, and you realize as a journalist, I can't not write this book.
Mitch Zuckoff, the author of The Inside Account of What Really Happened in Benghazi, which is the book behind the movie that is out today, 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi. Mitch Zuckoff, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks very much, Jeremy.
And the film came up in the Republican debate last night, and the CIA station chief we were talking about has given an interview to the Washington Post. He says that crucial scene in the movie is entirely untrue.